This is LenderCast 0003. I'm Alex Lender, your host. Did I ever talk about my other trip to Salt Lake? So right as I'm more or less pulling in, I'm listening to some guy who I think is a substitute for Rush Limbaugh. He's some kind of computer technician who used to work for, I don't know, maybe the RNC or something. But he was talking about what's going on in Seattle. And I know in one of the earlier LenderCasts I talked about the burgeoning homeless problem in Salt Lake, and also as well as its Mexicanization and its Asianization and the general filling in of the valley. But this guy was saying, and it's kind of in line with my theory, and I forget his name, but he was, as I said, he'd fill in for might have been Mark Stein. I said no, it was not Mark Stein. Mark Stein, I heard filling in for Rush Limbaugh when I started my trip, and then the next morning I heard this guy, who is some white guy. Stein's like a kind of a secretive Jew, but this guy was talking about the mess in Seattle, and I can't remember all the points he made, but basically there's a large homeless population. They're living and basically destabilizing the infrastructure by living under bridges like trolls and digging them up under there. And then they've got these free needle exchanges, and they're basically subsidizing all kinds of misbehavior. And now, by God, this stuff is spreading across the country. And I always theorize Salt Lake doesn't start trends. Salt Lake basically has trends creep in from the West Coast, which would typically be California and people wearing Bermuda shorts in the middle of winter to affect they live in a warm climate. But now these incredible they let all these people in the country. It drives rents super high. There's limited numbers of jobs. And they pass laws that are leftist on the coast that subsidize these growing camps of homeless. And many of them are white. And so they create a bad mentality in people. And now this kind of hominid garbage has spread from the West Coast into Salt Lake in significant numbers. And now I even see where I am in Missouri, in almost the exact literal physical center of the lower 48. And there's some old white guy, I don't know, he's probably mid-60s, just holding up a sign begging. And so this is a tiny little touch of this problem that you would see that is now spreading through all these countries in the West. And I guess you could say they're destroying the middle class, and there's only rich and poor that are remaining. And these people simply cannot afford the rents in these places because there aren't the kind of jobs that will pay. And on top of that, you've created the mentality in people where they don't want to work. They don't want to do what it takes. Anyway, all this stuff is coming together. And on top of that, you have the feds importing, H-1B people to take the jobs, and you've got them importing Africans all over the place to take the welfare. And it's really creating, what's the figure that the British guy used? We're piling up the kindling for our own funeral pyre of our civilization. We're destroying ourselves by forcing our good people to subsidize the scum. Not even a racial thing, although it's mostly a racial thing, but it's not wholly a racial thing. They're not just subsidizing non-whites. They're not just attacking whites. They're subsidizing the worst elements of the white population. Remember, maybe a sixth of the white population is on the black level mentally. Well, they're subsidizing those people, and they're trying to drag in the ones on the margin by creating and fostering these stupid anti-work, anti-sane, self-important, self-esteem mentalities in people that metastasize this social misery and this social bad thinking that produces wrecked lives that in turn drag everyone down with them. And you can very visibly see this pretty much wherever you go in the country anymore. And it's disgusting. But I found that I can't remember what that guy's name was, but I heard that as I pulled into Salt Lake. That was many months ago. Anyway, the debate has been about, which flag, which symbol we should rally behind, and there really is no agreement. And then the usual talk about unity, to which I say the point is you can only have a rational call for unity where a group of people has signed off on, either literally or metaphorically, on the principles that define the we. Otherwise, the we is an unclear antecedent or has an unclear antecedent, and you can't rationally object when so well, I didn't agree to that. When someone's not on the same page as you, you're assuming something that needs to be overtly agreed to, understood across the board, and only then do you have something you can reasonably appeal to in the name of unity. Otherwise, the call for unity is not premature, it's nonsensical, and this doesn't seem to be understood. But it should be. Now, some are saying we should rally behind the American flag, the stars and stripes, the eagle, etc., and all the rest of this stuff. My position is, at this point, that would amount to a counter-revolution within the form. And I'll get into that in a minute. I'm not saying that this approach is wrong, and I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that any symbol, approach, whatever, is right a priori. That means, starting from first principles, you can declare that this or that is the right way to go. It has something that has to be proven. So you can try to reason out best you can, but the proof is in the pudding. The proof in the pudding is in the tasting, the eating of it, because there's no, well, I put in the right thing, blah, blah, blah. Like you say, well, this meat can't be bad. I bought it on Tuesday. Therefore, that proves that the chili is, well, I don't know about all that. I put it in my mouth where my taste buds are. They're telling me the meat is rotten. I'm going to go with that. That's the correct response to the situation, because what matters is the proof. The proof of the chili, the proof of the meat being rotten is in the tasting. Right? If it tastes rotten, it is rotten. You can't correct me through some intellectual explanation, you understand? So nothing is right or wrong a priori in this regard. It has to prove itself in the field. Now, I'm not saying, what I am saying is, don't conflate these two different things. One is being intellectually wrong, and two is being politically weak. The fact that someone is wrong does not make them weak. Now, Jews alone ought to be proof of that, but not just the Jews, the cuck-servatives, the people whose only principle is putting their career interest ahead of the truth so that they labor in the army of dishonesty that serves the Jews. They say, yes, I'll be your flying monkey. As long as you pay me good wages, I'll be happy to take out whoever you want, wicked queen. And we need to take seriously the conservatives, not as thinkers, not as writers, not as analysts, but as a force that is allied with and works under and serves a greater demonic evil force, let's say, but is fully professional in that regard. The Washington Generals lose every basketball game to the Harlem Globetrotters, except maybe one, but they are professionals at what they do. They are very formidable. The conservatives are weak in their arguments, but they are strong in the money and networking and backing they have. This is a very important thing to understand, and it can't be underrated. Yet because they're so obviously dishonest and just plain wrong in the everyday sense, we laugh at them, and rightly so, but let's not underestimate the pull and the power they have. And I fear a little that creeps in when we start saying, let's use the American flag. Well, I talked in an earlier Lindercast about a fake American history 1.0, where they moved it from the white nationalist is the true American background in history. Basically, British Christian white people with a few extras, you know, Germany and Sweden, whatever. That's America's background. That's the true history of the U.S., a white man's land. The Jews said, no. It's an individualist country. It's an individualist country. It's their first false history they created. And once they got that fostered and inculcated into the public through the newfound electronic media, they used the technologies the white man invented to propagate, to mass spread the lies that they invented. White men invent technology, and Jews invent lies to spread over that tech. Hey, I'm going to gab that out. And once they'd inculcated all that into even your great uncles and your grandfathers at this point, the greatest generation on, let's say, they were working since 1900 and Israel Zangwill's, you know, the melting pot, that whole idea. Then they come up with false history 2.0. The second false history is, no, America was always about groups, and whites were the evil oppressor group, and America is the history of the unfolding liberation of the good people of the world attempting to overcome the evil whites. The good people who created everything and had it stolen from them by whites are now rising to the fore and liberating themselves. That's the true meaning of America. So that's fake history 2.0, which the Jew left preaches that. The Jew right still clings to the old false individualist history, but only the white racialists, the white nationalists, the alt-rightists know the real history. But the point is, the flag now is associated with essentially that fake history 1.0, the individualist constitutionalism that we associate with the patriotards, the people who are always willing to go die for Israel. So what the Jews did was effect, as I've said many times, a revolution within a form. And if they ever destroy the First and Second Amendments, they'll do it the same way. They will absolutely keep the language. But the right to bear arms, oh, well, by arms we mean a straw to shoot a spitball. That's what the founders really meant. So they'll keep the language of the Second Amendment, but you won't be allowed to do anything other than shoot a spitball at somebody without being thrown in jail. And for the First Amendment, well, free speech, well, you can see, obviously, oh, that doesn't mean hate speech. That means you're free to like blacks and like whatever else is on our Jewish agenda, but it doesn't mean you're ever free to promote white pride or white racial loyalty or describe bad things that other groups are doing. That's never been what free speech meant. They'll overtly lie, and they can spread these lies nationwide. In fact, they can spread these lies globally because now they've got their people in at the EU. They've got all the EU restrictions, and they themselves, their tribe owns all the major social media, and they've agreed to follow the EU restrictions, and they'd like to extend those exact kind of controls globally. And the First Amendment is the main legal obstacle they face in the part of the world that matters, i.e. not the Congo and Africa, but the white world. The Anglosphere, as we sometimes call it, the former British Empire. So this is what they would do. They prefer to carry out a revolution within the form because the Goyim always take words for behavior. They're satisfied with mere words. And if they see the same form, they're not swift enough mentally to see that, well, the thing inside has changed. The stuff in the middle of my freedom burrito looks awfully like what my dog produces of a morning. But they keep munching and swallowing. Oh, well, maybe they change the ingredients a little bit, but it's still a good old-fashioned freedom burrito. They're so dull-witted, they won't even notice that. So if you want to use the American flag and American symbols to promote white nationalism and reclaim them, what you effectively have to do is a counter-revolution within the form, because there's already been a revolution within the form. The flag is adopted by the Rush Limbaugh people and the others who are saying race doesn't matter, the Oatkeefers and the rest of them. Is that impossible? Not necessarily. Like I say, I wouldn't write off anything a priori. If you can do it, it's done, and I'll acknowledge it. And any road that we take will be difficult. I propose that I'm not necessarily against that way, but I definitely think we need some symbol, ideally that is pro-white and anti-Jew, and there's only one symbol that qualifies there. And if we stop short of that, then we at least need something that is global signifier of a pro-white political group. It says, hey, I'm for the whites in this country, and by extension will easily... The Confederate flag almost even serves that, because you'll see it various places. I said in an earlier Lindercast, I saw it up in Maine, for Christ's sakes, of all places. And when I lived in Pennsylvania, right near Gettysburg, I used to see it up there all the time. I've always, for whatever odd reason, lived right in the border areas between the North and the South, and I've always seen loads of Confederate flags. New Oxford, Pennsylvania, where I used to live, and I'm Missouri, right where the Southern Baptists turn into the Lutherans. A couple dozen miles below Iowa is where you see that big social change. Now, where I am is mixed, and Germans might even be the largest ethnic group, but maybe a quarter are German, and the rest are English, Irish, Scotch Irish types. German Scotch Irish is what you'd find basically around where I am, and people like me fit that. They intermarried with some of those. As opposed to like Irish Catholics, you'd see comparatively less of that out in the country. You'd see more English types and Scotch Irish and German where I am. But anyway, so the Confederate flag to some extent serves as a proxy symbol for just the white race. Thanks, less to the pro-Southerns and basically the media saying it's a symbol of hate. So that we tend to conflate all these in our mind that over time, white equals eagle equals eagle. There's a great sort of reduction, like they say about a cooking sauce. It all boils down to all white people are Hitler. I mean, they may not have quite have the mustache, but they could all grow a Hitler mustache. They're all fucking Hitler. All whites everywhere in the world are freaking Hitler. They're all budding Hitlers. That's really what the authoritarian personality means. That's really what the Confederate flag means. That's really what the Nazi swastika means. That's really what the American flag means, they would say, if we ever did recapture it. So that's where it is. And really, honestly, of course, we're opposed to globalism, but we also have to acknowledge that globalism is here and it's independent of Jews or anything else. It's simply a function of time and space. And the technologies to overcome them, which are now, you can see any, I can go anywhere in the internet and look up any portion of the world, and I can see pictures of it. Unfathomable, fathomable in, say, 1822. I'd have to get on a steamer and spend, 2 years of my life traveling to Calcutta or something. Think of Mark Twain's book Around the Equator, I think it was, or very, very interesting book, like he could write something uninteresting. he described the American West in Roughing It, and he described the world around the equator, or whatever his book was. Excellent stuff. But my point is, globalism is a real thing, totally apart from politics, purely as a function of where technology has evolved. So, in that sense, although we are for localism and we really have the technology both to decentralize and to globalize at the same time. And then there's in no way is there a contradiction there. It could be the best of both worlds, and it could be the worst of both worlds, because the same technology that allows decentralization allows hyper concentration and extreme control, right? So again, it always comes back to basically the human heart and morality and behavior and what your intent is. Now, you know where I stand. I favor a white state, but I favor decentralization within that. You don't need to force other people to go along. But again, I come from the superior group. I mean, is it for me to say that my group is superior? Is it for me to say that? Now, do they look like champions? It's not for me to say, but no. Now, are the Swiss and South Germans the best people on earth? It's not for me to say, but yes. And the Swiss have perfected the human art of politics, at least so far as it can be perfected. Of course, it's been destroyed now, and it's going the same way as everything else, but slower and still better, and certainly high-pricedier. The point is, you can live. Decentralization is the whitest way out there, in my opinion. Not mass consolidation, some podunk Hitler running everything. If you've met enough people, you know that most of them have really fucking stupid ideas. Even me sometimes, I hesitate to say. But I don't have any great faith in any of them. Even if we have all whites, there's still huge numbers of whites have really fucking bad ideas, and I'd prefer to let them fuck their own lives up and not subsidize them. And if they succeed, fantastic. I'll join them. I'll applaud them. I'll follow them. I'll mate with their daughters, whatever. I'll admire them and their example. But a man can only be a man if the decisions that are appropriate to a man are left to the man. That's subsidiarity, or at least my version of what it means. And That's significant. We are whites and we are men. We are white men. So white manism is what I'm preaching. And a white can only be a white man in a white context. And white manistan or could easily be just simply an ant farm for whites. Do you want to be managed by a white state? That's one way of arranging things within a white state, but it needn't be the only way within a white state. The only non-negotiable thing where there needs to be an absolute dictatorship is that it's a white country and that is formally agreed on by all citizens of majority age, that they accept that proposition so that you have a legal basis for saying, hey, you agreed, buddy. We gave you your multicultural rumspringa when you were 18. You went out for a year or two. You saw the world outside of the U.S. or whatever portion is reserved for white manistan. And you came back and you agreed to it. So now we're holding you accountable to what you agreed to. And really a formal social contract. One way of doing it, you know. And in the Great War to establish white sovereignty, you know, the people who don't want us will either be underground or abroad, let us say. Or undersea. Or in shark bellies. Isn't it a beautiful thought? Cheering for this Friday afternoon. Anyway, I think you get the idea. There's no need to force. Why not? What would Hitler do? Hitler would take advantage of the technology of his time, the technology of our time. I said it cuts both ways. Most things do. It could be a powerful force for centralizing and bossing people, as we increasingly see with the social media and kicking sites off the internet and unplatforming, unpersoning people, or it can be a powerful form for decentralization, where you can go anywhere on the globe and get a reading and communicate with anybody instantly. So it's a powerful force for both those things. And it's, as always, it comes back to how people use it. So you know what I like? I like that Canton idea. Even if you're going to be a Democrat, be a direct Democrat. Have people vote a computer and confirm their IDs. Keep it local. Let the cantons, that's how Switzerland's divided up, little mountain valleys, let them all make their decisions about who they let in. And they've actually, unlike the English, been able to limit the power of the central government over a period of time to where it was clear that they had succeeded in something. The English never were able to achieve that. Remember, we live in an English-speaking world, and the English-speaking world can't even conceive of the idea that other people could be more advanced than they are. Yet it is so. And I probably would be the same, regardless of whatever blood is flowing through my veins, if I hadn't somewhat been over there and somewhat seen that, yeah, there are people who are not legitimately, they're not American-speaking German. They're a different type. Even if we have the same blood, they have different patterns they've set up and maintained. And now, of course, that's all been wrecked to some extent by Merkel, but still the point remains. You don't have to consolidate everything into one simple center. But we also, if we want to live in a racial state, then it's going to have the power to maintain it. And so it will be a standing threat to constantly expand into other areas. It's a difficult question. And it starts with what is most important, and that would be establishing a racial state. Because if we don't establish a racial state, well, just look around. You can see what's happening now when we don't have anybody promoting the interests of whites or even defending their interests, not to lose, you know, their property and their lives to these marauders, invaders, and outright thieves who run the government. So that's where we begin. Anyhow, so could we do the flag? Maybe. But we're fighting a very powerfully entrenched, cuck-servative, patriotardic, conservative, Jew-controlled, fake right opposition that already seems to own these symbols in the public mind. So I guess I might think, I'm not against it, but I certainly wouldn't tell the Southerners not to use their flag because, you know, in an all-white state, I don't know if they'd have full sovereignty, but at least I've never heard of any white nationalist who wanted to stop them from being the South or boss their internal affairs around. If these people are happy eating dirt and being Baptist, who am I to say otherwise? I'm here to laugh at them. Lies they're not trying to force me into their pattern. I don't really care. I'll look down on them or up to them as I see fit. As long as I'm living my way and they're not trying to run me, because they won't run me. No more than the Jew will. You understand that. Problems don't end when Jews end. Just there's a different and much easier to deal with set of problems when the Jews are underground with the grubs where they belong. So I still will maintain that we need some kind of flag that represents. There's a lot of things we need that if you were a white council, these would be. Let's say you were some small town, small council. What do they do? What are the main problems facing our little town? Main Street is full of potholes, you know. We need a flag that symbolizes whites. We need to agree on who we are, first of all, pro-white. And we recognize Jews are our main enemy, and we recognize that all the other problems we face as a race flow from the Jews. Therefore, we must defeat the Jews before they genocide us. That's job one. All else, it really is analogous to a fire. When you have a fire, yeah, you need to regrout your fucking bathtub, but that's not job one when your house is burning down. Your job when your house is burning down is to put out the goddamn flames, right? I think the slowest among you will understand what I'm saying. Okay, so we need a word to define the hatred directed against us by Jews, and we're all using all these different words. That is so funny. I speak against centralization, but what is a word? In words, centralization is great when there's some big, huge phenomenon. Imagine if we had no word for, like, people were using 50 different words to describe these weird constellations of clouds and wind and precipitation that were destroying giant areas of our country, as we've seen low these last few months. There, imagine there was no word for storm or hurricane or tornado. There's just like we all kind of, it was affecting everything and messing up these millions of lives, but we didn't have one centralized word to call the motherfucking thing. You know, Irvism or something. Fuck, I don't know. You know, I mean, I coined Loxism, but it's not like a great coinage or anything. But it's necessary. And I thought and thought and thought and thought and thought about that. Excuse me. But if we had a white town council, the town council would go, look, here, friends, we're going to have these rallies and whatever. We're going to have, A, they would set all the conditions for how we deal with the rally. We're going to have pre-media people stationed here. We're going to document our arrival, and we're going to document our exit, because that's when a lot of the transition to the rally is when a lot of the problems happen, before and after. During the rally is more formalized. There's going to be a million people taking pictures. It's a matter of whether the cops are honest or not, but someone will have it on film. But document the transitionals stage, right? Document the speeches so that we have one nice set thing, have one place where people can go to get that information online, because we know all the major media are going to lie. That's one thing they would do, set a pattern. But even preceding that, who are we? What does we mean? What? Let's get a basis for a we so that we have something that we can blame people if they depart from that unity. Then unity means something, as I started off this LenderCast explaining. Then we have a we for the first time. Are we conservatives? Are we just vaguely angry about liberals? Are we, I mean, we have to differentiate ourselves from the cucks and the people they're appealing to, because we're appealing to the same people. We're giving them a different way than what Limbaugh has in the fake 1.0 version of American history as individuals, and the first lie about American history, that was just about individuals, right? So they say, here's what whiteness means, what it stands for, pro-white, anti-Jew. Dual litmus test, as I said. And I said, here's a pattern for how we'll treat rallies. Here's our basic demonstrator dress, right? For any rally of any of these people who are we, it will always be acceptable for you to wear these shoes, these pants, this shirt. And if there's two or three things they want to outlaw, they'll list that as well. But something that anyone can buy, it's not expensive, and it looks decent. And that's a stripped-down basic unit. And you can go paint your faggoty flowers on it if you want, but you got a basic VW bus, you know, to get you there, whatever. A little hippie wagon. But, and we define this hurricane with no name that never goes away. It's hovering over the white area around the entire globe daily, and it never freaking moves. What's the name of that Jewicane, that hurricane, that Irvicane, whatever it is? It's got to be given a name by some white council. If you name something, then people can acknowledge that they've heard of it, that it exists, and then they can fight it. They can have opinions about it, and of course, they'll be against it. So the alt-right has got its name into the media, although they like to call it white supremacy. They're not happy calling it alt-right because it's vague. It's not really vague because it doesn't include these specifics, so it's more or less accurate. It's sort of a hazy feeling, general feelings about these sorts of things, but it's not focused. Like, white nationalism is focused. We want a white nation. It doesn't even say what kind of politics, what kind of economics. It just says people who want a white nation, a nation based on race, a nation for a specific race. Alt-right is more of a hazy, sort of the jism in which the frog eggs swim of white nationalism, you see. People who aren't satisfied with conservatism more or less equals alt-right. Well, it needs to be a little more than that. We have to very sharply, clearly differentiate ourselves and what we stand for from the Proud Boys and the other cucks and the Limbaughs and the schmucks and the Jew servants or the Jew-afeards. We are different. We are pro-white and we are anti-Jew. And psychologically, we're different. We stick to the truth. We're not afraid. They are the cowards. They're the servitors. They're the people who care only about their personal interests, their careers. They are career girls. They have that mindset. They will do anything for a buck. We're not like them. We are different. We are ganz anders. Right? Something totally other from German. And so a white council would settle on all these things, right? And it would say, you know, well, what flag are we going to use? Are we going to use the American flag? All right, or so it's going to be, we're going to have a flag off with the cucks. Right? They're going to use a flag. We're going to use a flag too. But I'm saying, possibly, I'm not writing anything off a priori. But I think it would be helpful, even if we went that, whether we went that way or we went another way, and we said, oh no, we're going to rally behind just one symbol, the Confederate flag. We're going to rally behind just one symbol, the swastika. I think it would be helpful if we had some flag that just meant we're pro-white. This flag stands for the white nation that we want. And are going to put it ourselves, we are going to work until we get in a position where we can demand it. I think Napoleon said something, it's foolish to demand stuff that you're not in place to enforce. And the North Vietnamese put it another way. You can't make demands you can't win at the bargaining table what you couldn't in the field, although that actually was true for them. They weren't able to win shit in the field. And they did win at the bargaining table. That shows you that will is part of it. But you know, they had the Tet Offensive and the white soldiers beat them back, but the media presented it as the Vietnamese winning. Anyway, we need something that a flag that symbolizes our white nation. Our demand for a white nation that does not now exist but will exist, and that could be used even globally, because it could mean the same thing for someone in New Zealand or someone in Sweden or someone in France or Germany or England that it means to us in the USA. And at the same time, you could just as easily couple that with the US flag and say, we're contesting directly for this symbol which was created by our ancestors at the same time they created a land for us, as written in their documents. But as I say, that's a very difficult task. Any of these tasks under any flag is difficult, but it's exceptionally difficult to do because other people are trying to claim this symbol. And maybe the left makes it easier for us as they move their attack from Confederate men, who are still legitimate Americans, even I would argue more legitimate than the Northerners who fought them because they stayed true to the founding principles of America. As the attack moves on from them to other white Americans, George Washington, etc., and you can't get more American than the father of the country, to even the original Europeans who discovered this land for Europe, Columbus. They've already attacked in Baltimore. I talked about in one of the earlier Lindercasts. So, whatever we do, we will be difficult. But if we had a white council, we could more or less agree. If we had a handful of the people who are most respected, and they made these basic decisions, here's what we're going to call the Jewish hatred of whites, the term we're going to use. Doesn't matter, as long as here's the name we're going to call for this hurricane that won't leave our lands and murders and destroys and defames and mocks us daily. Here's what we're going to call that. And we call that from the Antipodes to America, to old Europe, where we all came from. Here's how we agree on a basic rally dress, at least in America. Europe, you might need a slightly different version. They might dress a little different over there, but here's how we're going to do it in America. Here's what we're going to call the Jewish hatred of us. Here's how we're going to dress. Here are the legitimate flags and symbols we're going to use. Ideally, just a few at most, or even better, just one, or one or two or three. One major one, and then some minor ones. We all understand we're on the same page. And that would be worked out by some kind of a council. And therefore, we would have something to rally behind. There is no acknowledged term for the hatred Jews exhibit for whites, pretending to be us, telling us to shut up, telling us we should be silent, our voices shouldn't be heard, we've messed everything up. What is this hatred? What is the name for this hatred that drives everything we see in the mass media? There's got to be an agreed-on name for that. Not just calling it hate or whatever, or using the same terms the Jews came up with. These are the things a council would decide. Anyway, that's what I'm thinking. I'm gonna cut this off here. I'm trying to do these Lindercast more frequently. I'm still in the midst of a bunch of personal gunk I'm trying to work through, and involving more trips, but I just had another trip put off, so I will be running on all cylinders during November. I have started writing again daily on my blog, not a huge amount, but some. And I'll be doing more Lindercast, and I'll be doing more audiobooks as well. Anyway, this is important stuff. This is what's going on in the media that I'm reading. I encourage people to join Gab as their social media shut down. Gab is the one that just might make it for the long term. And that's where I make a lot of posts on most day, and post articles and make epigrams and analysis and comments there. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Lindercast again. I'm Alex Linder, and as Cadaverous Space Coach Harry says, let's get some life in our pants.